With some heavenly wisdom, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not mixed with other things. He's actually talking about the heart. An undivided heart is the way the Old Testament says it. That you don't have one foot in the world and one foot in following Jesus. That your life is focused on Him and whatever He wants you to do, and you're willing to set aside things that look like opportunities in the natural so that you can wait for God to do it.
Zion, I build with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
There are only two kinds of wisdom, worldly and heavenly. Now, of course, we want to be directed by heaven's wisdom and not by the world's, of which we're told in Scripture is under the sway of the evil one. So how can we tell the difference between the two? Well, we're not left to guessing, as both are clearly defined. And that comes to our attention today on Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We're moving verse by verse through the book of James. And this important book has been called the New Testament Book of Proverbs because of its emphasis on wisdom. And like Proverbs, it's hard-hitting and straightforward. But we trust you're up for it, bracing us for the challenge as we begin. Here's Pastor Ed.
James chapter 3, verse 13. I will warn you, these are strong verses. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, and his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask God. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Ouch. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. It's a good thing, Lord. We ask that you give us grace and understanding here as we study your word, that it might bring more life in us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. We often hear it said that today, this generation is the best informed generation of any. We have available more knowledge, data, facts at our fingertips than any previous generation in history. More new information has been published, according to one report, in the last 50 years than in the prior 5,000 years. Wired magazine reported that so far in the 21st century, information has doubled every 4 years. Since the internet becoming open for the general public, originally it was just for scientists, we have more knowledge at our fingertips than we can possibly process as one person. So our world has gained plenty of knowledge, but it didn't necessarily bring along an equal amount of wisdom. Even young kids can get some kinds of wisdom. Patrick, age 10, says, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." It's wisdom. Michael, age 14, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Wise man, that Michael. He also wrote, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Randy, 9, said, stay away from prunes. I don't know how he got there, but doesn't sound good, right? Lauren, age 9, says, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Joel, age 10, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Eileen, age 8, says, never try to baptize a cat. No, there's a certain kind of wisdom in all of those statements. Now, this letter of James, it is very much like the Old Testament book of Proverbs in that it tells us godly wisdom is to be desired and to be sought after. James 1:5, we already saw, said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We ask God for wisdom, and he promises to give it. The book of Proverbs reminds us, like Proverbs 2:4, to seek for wisdom as you would for hidden treasure, but not just any kind of wisdom, it turns out. In fact, this is the clearest place in Scripture that describes two kinds of wisdom available to us, two kinds of wisdom that is vying for our attention to get control in our life. One is of this earth, worldly, sensual, about feelings, and demonic, we're told. And the other is heavenly, from God, divine wisdom, who will give to all who ask. So, two clearly different kinds of wisdom. One of them is to be sought after, the other is to be avoided. Now, one of the clearest pictures of human wisdom that's been tampered with by envy and jealousy and self-assertiveness is the story Kent Hughes told of the Franklin expedition to find the Northwest Passage, kind of a famous story. But in 1845, an admiral of the British Navy, Sir John Franklin, decided to find the Northwest Passage, that opening between the North Pole and Canada that would allow ships to pass from the Atlantic to the Pacific without having to go all the way around the bottom of South America. And so we handpicked 138 British sailors and outfitted two of the most modern kinds of ships possible. That would mean in 1845, with steam engines in a sailboat. So they had two ships, 138 men, and they had room in the cargo hold for 12 tons of coal to fire the steam engine part of it. But in his wisdom, Admiral Franklin decided that they needed to take with them other things, and so he didn't put much coal in. He put in things like silverware and silk handkerchiefs and 1,200 books and just a whole set of luxury items that would normally not even be on a ship. But he wanted to go in style, fitting for his position in life. Well, they left and were seen by a British whaler 2 months later as they were entering the area where they thought the passage was. And that British captain was the last person that ever saw 138 men alive. Both ships got caught in the ice. One of the ships was just recently found at the bottom of a bay, 150 feet of water. When they got trapped in the ice, they went overland, most of the men, to try and walk 600 miles south to the nearest station. So they died because of a lack of checking with God and being convinced that they had the most modern technology available. We might laugh at the technology today, but if Jesus doesn't come in 50 years, they'll laugh at the technology we have right now, too. You're so old-fashioned, that kind of thing. Now, many of us started out in life the same way. We started on our journey into adulthood with poor planning that we had foolishly conceived, ill-equipped, not really thought well through. And then when we got onto the shoals of life and we were shipwrecked, then we thought to turn to God. So none of us who have gone through that experience would ever want to go back, but we appreciate that many of us only learn through those trials and struggles. James is trying to encourage us, the church then in Jerusalem in the middle of the first century, to avoid experience if you can. You can learn by experience, it's just that the tuition is very expensive. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes. He breaks up this little section that we're into three parts. Wisdom from below, that's pretty clear, 13 through 16. Wisdom from above, 17 and 18. And then wisdom avoids strife and warring. So that's where we're going. I warned you, it's a difficult set of verses because it's like surgery or maybe a root canal for me this week, last 2 weeks actually. So fasten your seatbelts and let's jump in. And remember, God has grace for all of us.
Before we take that jump, we wanted to pause here to acknowledge those just joining us. Welcome. We're glad you're with us here on Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. Now with part two of today's broadcast, taking us verse by verse through this challenging scripture in James chapter 3, starting at verse 13, here's Pastor Ed.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Stand up. No, I'm just kidding. None of you stood up. I didn't even see you move. That's wisdom. That's good. You got the first part of this. Let him show by good conduct, doing things, that his works, his actions, are done in the meekness of wisdom. So that kind of sets the tone of where we should be. Let the wise person show their wisdom by their actions, by what they do, not what they say. Now, if you've been with us through the earlier part of this chapter, he speaks a lot about talking and a lot about walking. And the importance of not just talking, but walking the walk. So wisdom, unlike knowledge, is not merely a matter of the head. Information data is about what you can accumulate up here. But wisdom is the application of that to life circumstances that yield a positive result. That's a very dry statement, but it really is the definition of wisdom. It's a matter of the heart. You remember, probably as I do, seeing the old movie Forrest Gump. He said, "My mom always used to say, stupid is as stupid does." Well, that's pretty close to what James is saying here. That wisdom is as wisdom does. It's not just about talking. It's not having a collection of data you can draw from. It's having a collection that you draw from that is rightly applied. That's that nugget, the exact thing that's needed. Done in meekness, the attitude is important. This concept of wisdom demands that a person's character, their characteristics, show in this protes, is the Greek word. It's actually an equestrian term. It deals with horses. It was a statement used to describe a stallion who was very powerful, but was meek in the sense of under the control of the rider. So James is saying that you have a choice in the matter, and you can exercise your free will and go against the one who wants to direct your life. But I've tried it, didn't work real good. And so my recommendation is do otherwise. That check with the creator of the universe who has all the information, and nothing is hard for him, and he's ready to give it if we would just ask. So that's kind of a summary of what's going on here. Now, meekness is not a New Year's resolution. It actually is a gift of the Spirit. It is a fruit, to be more accurate, of the Spirit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5:22. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, same word, paretes, this meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. What do you mean? When you surrendered your life to God, when you said, God, forgive my sins, take my life. And if you haven't done that, don't leave this morning until you have. But when you did that, most of us in this room have done that, the Holy Spirit came into us, into our heart. The same Spirit, Paul wrote to the Romans, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He took up residence in you and in me, and he began to change us. And this new covenant happened inside us. He took out our heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh. He put his Spirit within us. He wrote his law of love on our heart, and he causes us to walk in his ways. That's what God said that the new covenant would be. That's what Jesus meant when he took the cup that night and said, this is a cup of the new covenant. And you and I are all partakers of it. So this meekness is the result of the Holy Spirit being given control, surrendering your life to God, and him coming in you, and then changing you from the inside out. Now, I'm taking the time to slowly take that apart, because the normal response is, oh no, I'm not doing this right. God does it if you'll let him. That's the point. That he causes us to walk in his ways. When we surrender constantly, I do it more than once a day even. You know, every time I find myself taking control, you know, here, Lord, sit over there in the passenger seat, let me drive that thing. Or maybe the back seat would be better. How about the trunk, Lord? He says, no, you go in the trunk so you can't grab the wheel and I'll take control of your life. But he is a gentleman. He waits for us to give it to him. So, wisdom, Sophia, done in the meekness of Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom and knowledge in diverse matters, but it's the application of that knowledge to important life decisions successfully. Sounds simple. How come it's so hard to do? Because we don't want to surrender our lives. Sound familiar? Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. I love the Living Bible. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. That's the worst kind of lie. You're not wise if you're bitter. Bitter? Not forgiving. You don't release people that have done things against you, and it stops up your heart. Don't boast of how good you're doing with the Lord if you have bitterness towards another person. Against the truth, that is to live a lie, against the truth. So this is that wisdom that keeps wanting to sneak into our life that comes from down below, verse 15. The wisdom does not descend from above, but this wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Whoa, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That it's the wisdom of this world, that it's what goes on in this world. Remember, God said, if you lack wisdom, ask him and he'll give you the one from above. But if you don't, the one from below takes precedent. And this is the one that drives so many in the business world, so many Wall Street investors, so many scientists who are trying to get ahead in their field. It's the thing that captures a hold of your mind and changes your priorities, and you put aside the things that are really important that matter for eternity, and you focus on the thing that's right in front of you. You get diverted. Your attention is diverted from eternity, the real things that matter. So this wisdom is earthly, the kind that self-seeking envy that is part of this world. This is from the pit of hell, it says. Self-promotion is not supposed to happen from self. It's supposed to happen from God. Psalm 75:5. Promotion comes not from the east or from the west, but it is to come from God. So all your striving, all my striving to get ahead in a certain field, in a certain area, is for naught. Because God will hold you back, number one, if you're a believer, until you let him make those decisions. And number two, you'll find yourself entrapped deeper and deeper into a set of values that steps on people, that stands on people's shoulders to get ahead, and that everything is set aside about kindness, and he'll get to that in just a moment. Wisdom from below. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So envy, zealous, the Greek word where we get our word zealous, contentious, rivalry, jealousy for another person that has the same gifts you do and does it better than you do. Wow, that's a hard one. When you're up against somebody at work and the person that's ahead of you actually is more gifted, more talented than you are. So envy, self-seeking, a desire to keep putting yourself forward in front of other people. Look at me kind of a thing. So were the first to exist in the heart, then effective evil work will follow. Something will happen in your life and you'll begin to do unethical means to get ahead. It brings to chaos, akatasasa, instability, disorder that results from chaos of human wisdom. Every evil thing. Literally, it says every worthless or vile work. Things that are not so much intrinsically evil as they are simply good for nothing, valueless. Things we seek after like dust in the wind. They go through our hands. They'll pass. Verse 17, now the other kind of wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not mixed with other things. He's actually talking about the heart. An undivided heart is the way the Old Testament says it. That you don't have one foot in the world and one foot in following Jesus. That your life is focused on him and whatever he wants you to do. And you're willing to set aside things that look like opportunities in the natural, so that you can wait for God to do it. Patience, waiting, those are hard words. I understand. I'm not wired that way. Just so you know, I'm not teaching this because I understand this and I'm really good at doing it. In fact, I think God did the opposite. He said, make the guy who's worse at it stand up and talk about it this morning. It'll keep him humble and the rest of the people will have great hope. If God can use him, he'll use anybody. It's probably okay for me too. So, the wisdom that is from above, first, pure. It is not a mixture of things. It is received by communion with God, by interaction with God. That means you and him alone. Do you do that? When's the last time that you sat down without anyone around and just talked to God, read the word, prayed? That's what he's waiting for. This is not a guilt trip. This is how we communicate with our Heavenly Father. He loves us and he wants us to spend time with him today. Now would be good. Go right ahead. It won't bother us. Without a mixture of things. A heart undivided. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, James was going to tell us in chapter 4, verse 8. Heart without mixed motives, Joshua will say in Joshua 24, choose this day whom you will serve. One or the other, don't be caught in between.
With that good and gracious invitation from James chapter 3, we'll draw today's Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray to a close. We must reject the world's wisdom and choose to receive God's wisdom. It's yours for the asking. For a CD copy of today's message, please give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE, or listen online at thepackinghouse.org when it's most convenient. We can hook you up with many more resources to help you to grow in grace when you visit thepackinghouse.org, like Pastor Ed's devotional. Well, today we'd like to offer you a very special book, Living Water by Pastor Chuck Smith. Learn how to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you read this excellent book. We'll gladly send it to those of you who support Grow in Grace with a donation of any amount. You might think of it as our way of saying thanks. You can donate safely and securely online at thepackinghouse.org, or again, give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. You know, it's a real blessing when we hear back from our listening audience, and we want to hear from you. If you would drop us an email with the call letters of the station you're listening on, It would help us to know where people are listening and where the program is being most effective. We want to know what God is up to in your life. Drop us an email today at packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. And then join us next time as together we grow in grace through a study in James with Pastor Ed Ray. May God richly bless you as you grow in His grace.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your